This is Deacon Mike, and welcome to our examination of the readings of Advent. This week we hear of the background of the season of Advent. Sunday, December 2nd, is the beginning of the new liturgical year with the season of Advent. Advent is a feast of pagan origin, but it was Christianized at some point in the early church. The pagans realized that the sunlight was lasting longer, and so they celebrated this feast that they were Adventus, or coming toward the light. It cannot be determined with any degree of certainty when the celebration of Advent was first introduced into the church. The season of the preparation for the Feast of the Nativity, or Christmas, could not have been held before the feast itself was celebrated, and Christmas was not celebrated until the 4th century. The early Christians first had to make sense of the resurrection and then work the calendar backwards. Advent always begins with the Sunday closest to the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, which is November 30th, and it is to embrace four Sundays. The first Sunday of Advent may be as early as November 27th, which gives us a full 28 days of Advent, or as late as December 3rd, which gives the season only 21 days. There is a twofold meaning of Advent: to prepare for Christmas, when Christ's first coming is remembered. It may sound strange, but the infant is not the primary focus. Instead, we are to remember that this was the start of God's plan for our salvation. Secondly, that remembrance also directs the heart and mind to await for Christ's second coming at the end of time. We should not do this in fear and trembling, but in hope and joy that our salvation will be achieved. Why the color purple? Purple is always used for seasons in the church year with a penitential nature. In Advent, we repent for the times we have failed to live as a child of God, but we have a conversion to hope. The longed-for Messiah had finally arrived. In Lent, we repent with a deeper penitence for our individual failures. In the Roman Empire, the color purple was used in the northern sections for a penitential nature, realizing our failures, while in the southern part of the empire, purple was used to denote royalty and joy. Purple cloth was expensive and only used on special joyous occasions. The church combined both the feeling of the north and the south. We repent for the times we have failed, but we rejoice because our sins are forgiven. The focus during the gospel, during Advent this year, is Luke. Who was Luke? Luke was an educated Gentile, or non-Jewish person, who was a physician, and he was the one Paul speaks of as his beloved companion among the uncircumcised. Luke is the only New Testament writing from a Gentile. He was a master of elegant Greek and common Greek, or the Greek spoke among the people in the streets. He is the only author also of a sequel, the Book of Acts, and we cannot understand one without the other. In Acts, he writes about what he sees, which completes the gospel, what he heard from others. Tradition tells us that this gospel was written about the year 80 AD. Luke never knew Jesus personally, but like so many others, he knew of him through the teachings of Peter and Paul. Luke is writing for Gentiles, or diaspora Jews, those Jews who were not living in the Holy Land. Luke believed that we are saved by a commitment to God through Jesus Christ, and Luke explains how his influence did not end with his death on the cross, but continues to guide us. It is an orderly account that is very artistic and spiritual in nature. Luke is familiar with Old Testament allusions and echoes, and he translates these for Gentiles and the diaspora Jews. The theme of Luke is that Jesus is the fulfillment of a plan set in motion long ago. Jesus comes to bring salvation to Israel, to all the nations, and especially the lowly. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is always very concerned with the needs of others. Several years ago, I read on 10 ways of getting more out of Advent, and I would like to share these with you. First, reflect on Advent as a time of waiting, no matter how unpopular the concept of waiting for something seems in our culture. Secondly, turn your breathing into a prayer. Exhale the tension and worries of life and inhale the Spirit of God. Third, pray for patience, especially in the long lines we encounter as we are buying our presents for others. Fourth, unite with Mary. Because of her fiat, I believe, let it be done, Jesus came into the world. Fifth, get rid of grudges, anger, and resentment, for this is a time to repent of those feelings and turn our focus to the joy of Jesus' coming. Sixth, pray frequently, longing for the Lord. Perhaps one of the simplest prayers to say and to remember while we're waiting in those long lines is simply, "Come, Lord Jesus." Seventh, receive the sacrament of reconciliation to cleanse your heart and soul. Eighth, do something nice for someone every day, no matter how seemingly little or insignificant. Nine, think of something painful or difficult in your life and turn that trial into a time of prayer. And finally, think about the gifts you have already received from God and reflect on how you are using those. This is Deacon Mike, and I hope you join me next time as we begin our examination of the first Sunday of Advent.